This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones, and this is Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast.
Now this week, I've been there, done that, and right, so we have to admit something, that we record this, obviously, a week in advance, or you know, a couple of days in advance, because we can't do it on the day because they can't edit it and do all the shiny stuff they do to it, blah, blah, blah. But because we're both going away, we've had to record it before we've gone away, but it's going out after when we are away.
Oh, it's becoming so complicated. We're going to test you on this later.
Don't test me. And so essentially, I'm going away in 2 days. And I was, so last week, we were all trigger happy on me ordering swimsuits.
Yeah, that's all we talked about.
So on Monday when I was going to, I thought, okay, fine, I'm going to just order my swimsuits. Got all happy. I just thought, I'd just check the weather again. Oh my God. So last week in Italy, it was 26 degrees. So I was all smiley and shiny. I've checked basically 3 different locations. I'm going to Puglia, but I can't work out exactly. I know where I'm going in Puglia, but the exact location isn't on the weather thing. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah.
I've done 3 different Puglias and I've done Bali. Suffice to say, Bari.
Oh,
sorry, did I say Bali?
I don't know. I was just thinking Bali's not near Puglia,
no,
is it?
No. Maybe I'll put that into the mix. If I like,
that might help.
If I like the look of that weather forecast, I'll just do that one. And I kept looking at ones. Oh, no, I don't like that one. I'll find another one. Do you do that?
Oh, I always do whatever's the hottest one. Oh, yeah, I'm not doing the BBC. I'm doing whatever because it's 3 degrees hotter. I'm going with that.
That's what the weather's going to be. And unfortunately, they're all seen from the same hymn book. And I'm looking at a dazzling high of 15 degrees.
I can't believe it, Kat. That's got to be really, really, really low for Puglia for this time of the year.
I don't want to talk about
just
it.
Just to rub it in like sun cream that you won't
be needed. So I've had to have, it's put the cat amongst the pigeons. And I've essentially, I mean, do you know what the irony of it is? I don't actually really care.
You know what the knock-on effect is. You're going to have to pack twice as much.
Well, this is it. This is where my dilemma lies. And, I know it's a horrible phrase and people hate it, first world problems and all that. But right now, it's not the biggest issue in the world, but it's pissing me right off.
Oh, that is.
The fact that I don't know what to pack.
Oh, no.
I don't know what to pack. I'm not sure there's going to be any shopping. I could look on this as a shopping opportunity, but it's not really a shopping trip. If it rains, if it's not sunny, it's okay. I just would like to know.
It's your footwear, isn't it? It's the footwear that gets me down. Because you're like, you're going to have to pack boots now as well as sandals or shoes, covered shoes or trainers. Aren't you?
I'm going to punch
wellies.
You. I'm going to punch you in the tits. No, I... Marianne, my sandals, my flip-flops are waterproof.
Okay, well, you're laughing then, aren't you?
Exactly. So it's just I've had to have a rethink. And I didn't order, in disgust, as a protest, I didn't order any bikinis. So I'm just taking 2 bikinis with me, the two that fit me.
How many nights are you going?
Only 4.
And you're only packing 2?
Yeah.
How many would you have packed?
4, I'd have packed 1 for every day.
No! A bikini a day.
We've already had this discussion.
I know we have. I just rinse out the gusset and rewear.
Okay, to be fair, I don't. Oh, God. I don't. But yes.
No.
Okay. What?
No.
Her face.
Don't talk about fluids. No, it doesn't happen. What were you going to say?
If it's warm and, you know, you've got your... It's not the top. It's not the top, but your bikini pants. I can't believe I'm
actually
saying
actually, it is the top
this.
With me because I've got is big it? Boobs, so... Yeah.
Oh, no, mine's not the top. Sweaty and also, boobs. Also, I just go topless.
What? No. This is a whole other conversation, topless or not topless. No. I would get tan marks all the way down to my knees if I went topless.
I do.
Apart from anything.
I so do not go topless. I've actually gone red thinking about it.
I thought you did.
I just said
some
it.
People do.
I just said it to see your face.
Oh no.
I actually, for 1 second, was concerned you were going to have a heart attack there.
Honestly, I was speechless for about 5 seconds.
Are you having a laugh? Topless?
Well, you're always talking about have you got pert, you know, pert little ones. No. I mean, I probably would.
I haven't got pert little ones. We discussed.
I know we did discuss where you found your nipple one day.
No, in fact, my nipples would end up somewhere languishing under my. You know what an oxter is? Oxter. Oxter.
What?
Have we not done this conversation?
Oxter.
Oxter. What? Where's your oxter?
Is it near Bicester?
No. Under your oxter.
What?
It's your underarm.
Your underarm. Where have you got that from? Right. Is this your pub quiz question?
Oh, it's a good pub quiz question. It's a thing.
How do you spell it?
O-X... I don't know. I didn't write it down. O-X-T-E-R? Oxter.
Never heard of it. Bluff. I'm saying bluff.
Bluff. Right. Hold that thought. Okay. Here she goes.
Right. And on that theme, I've been there, done that. I am getting pre-holiday tension for my holiday. Do you know what? Our listeners are going to hate us if they're not going away on a holiday. But I've not been away since last December. Go on.
A person's armpit.
Bloody hell. In how'd you spell it?
O-X-T-E-R, like I said.
Yeah.
What does that say, Marianne?
It's what does Scottish that say? And Northern English. I'm from the north and I've never heard of... is it Scottish as opposed to no. Northwest England? Is it Scottish?
It's Scottish and Northern England, it says.
Okay. No.
Northern English.
No. So what would it be used in context with? Oh, I've got a really sweaty oxter. Yeah. How would you use it?
Yeah. Under wow. your under the underarm. Yeah. My mum used to send me a little to keep you under your oxter.
Did she?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it, but I'm thoroughly glad I do. There might use go. That in Scrabble.
Oh,
that would be a good one. Get rid of your ex.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such. Or if someone put ox, you could put T-R.
T-R. And they'll go, that's not a word. And you'll go, yes, it is. It's your armpit. Look and then they'll look it up and you'll be... Absolute belle of the ball.
You are all welcome, just saying.
Oh, thank you for that. So I'm getting pre-holiday tension for different reasons. So because I've not been away for quite a while, I mean, some people say you've been away in December and that isn't not quite a while, but
and they'd be right.
Would be right. Apologies. I just sometimes think there was a point last week I'm like, oh, I'm not sure I can even be bothered with this. I'd forgotten to book the dog sitter. And it's like, oh, God, is she going to be free? Da, 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 da. You know, you're doing that. I'd spent too much on my cozy cat. That was really making me a bit ill at ease that I talked about last week. I'm going to have to run the fridge down. So I've not done a shop this week. We're running the fridge down. We've got nothing in it apart from a bit of Greek yogurt and one egg.
Okay.
And then it's like, have you booked the airport car park? And I just think, God, everything is, it's, oh, and then I found out, because we're going to Morocco, never been before, found out that it's a closed currency. So I can't organise that beforehand. So I've got to get a wadge of cash out and change it over there because you can't change it outside of that country. And then someone said, get a Revolut. And I'm like, what's a Revolut? And why do I need one? And I'm a bit, I've got pre-holiday tension. Does anyone else get that? And you just think, is this worth it for a week?
And
don't you feel any of that?
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Really?
No.
But you must have had to have organised all that stuff on family holidays.
Yeah, but it's not.
The dog, the fridge, the this, the that, the currency, the car, the blah, blah.
It's about how long are you going for?
Where are you going for a week? But that's what I'm saying. You still have to do all of those things. You do.
Okay. Currency. Interesting. I cannot remember the last time it ever changed. Do you not just use your card?
Well, apparently not.
Okay.
It's a bit tricky in
Morocco. Okay, fair enough.
I don't think sort of restaurants and shops just take necessarily take your bank card. You have to go to certain cash points, which are at certain bits of, you know, bits of the capital. I might be wrong. That's just what I've been told.
Okay.
No, I'll find out.
Okay, you can let me know. No, most of that is, you're talking in code.
I think you're either hyper organized. I always remember my mum getting really stressed before we went on holiday, and I could never understand why. And I'm not really a stressy person, but I just think, God, sometimes. And then the stuff you've got to do before it for work.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got about, yes. Why do you have about 10 weeks worth to do before you go away for a week? Never understood that.
Work, I think, is probably the only stressful thing about making sure that you've done what you need to do before you go away, because you don't want to take it with you. And then you know what you're doing when you're coming back. So, yes, that. But other than that, yeah, but I'm the person that wouldn't even check in online. I would just rock up to the airport with my passports.
No, I have to check in online.
I'd ring a taxi the night before or the day, 2 days before.
You're a relaxed traveller. Yeah. I'm sure we're all a traveller type, aren't we?
Well, I did say, you know what, I did. We just had that conversation about, you know, was it with you or something, the conversation about when you leave the house, you get in the car, it's like...
Yeah, and then you're fine, yeah.
Yeah, then I'm totally fine. But no, I think the only thing I did used to stress about was when 2 days beforehand, the kids would come and go, Mom, my flip-flops don't fit me. Or, Mom, I can't find my swimming trunks. If something didn't fit them, and I'd be asking them for weeks and weeks, can you make sure you've got this, can you make sure you've got that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I think was the only, when you're trying to do and organise a tribe, it's a lot more stressful. But those are the things. The things that you've mentioned, running the fridge down, wouldn't give a shit.
No.
I'd just leave it in there. And if I came back and had to throw it out, I'd have to throw it out.
Oh,
actually,
that would
wouldn't care.
Me.
Wouldn't care. No. And I'd always do the night before we go, right, no cooking, so the dishwasher's empty, get a takeaway. I would never, or get pizza.
Yeah.
Things like that don't stress me. The currency, couldn't give monkeys, got a card. If I get there, there'll be a cash machine. No.
I know. And that doesn't bother me. Normally chilled and laid back about most things. But I don't know. It's just all the things I've just suddenly thought this time. God. Maybe it's because I don't normally go away at this time of year.
And then I'd also, the night before, shove everything into the bag and then go, if I haven't got it, I'll buy it at the airport.
You'll buy it there.
So invariably, I was buying toothbrushes at the airport because, you know, get in the car, kids have got your toothbrush. No. So that sort of thing, I'm very much a, no, it's fine. The thing that, as I say, did used to stress me was packing.
And now it is again.
And here we are.
And it's
again.
Only for 4 nights.
It's only for 4 nights. And that's what I need to remember.
Going away for short periods. Whatever happened to the 2 week holiday?
No,
I can't remember the last time I went on a 2 week holiday.
I went last year for the first time, 2 week holiday last year. For like 2 weeks, I'm going to say to you, 2 weeks is a really long time.
Yeah.
Two weeks is too long.
I think our attention spans have got so short now. I remember we used to go on 2 week holiday every single summer and it didn't seem too long. But now, 2 weeks away would be like impossible.
10 days is perfect.
10 days 12, is perfect. Sure,
12 days is 11 might be perfect. Because by 10, you're like, oh, okay, got one more day. And they're like, I'm ready now, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm good.
When we're going away with the kids to the place we always go to in Mallorca, I've added one night on. I've been decadent. So instead of 7 nights, 8 nights, because you know you always get to 7, you go, I could just do it one more day. So do one more day.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
Oh, that's really nice.
Bit cheeky that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so tell us, what gives you pre-holiday tension and what sort of a traveller are you? Are you a stressed up Sheila?
Do you? I also think you can divide the world out into people who love an airport and people who hate them. But I would happily get to the airport 3 hours early.
I would. And this is where me and Nick differ. Mm. He will skitter up seat of his pants.
Mm.
Literally, yeah. The number of times we have legged it to get that plane. And it makes me furious. I like to get there. I like to go to WH Smith, I'll buy a book. I'll go to the caff. I'll have a look in duty free.
Do you not always get a glass of champagne?
No, I don't always get a glass. When I'm on the plane, I'll get something like that. I won't do it yet in the airport because I've still got that residual tension of, am I getting on that plane? No, it only leaves me when I'm on the plane and I know we're taking off. And then I go,
oh, you are such a
stress. Because I'm not, it's funny this, Kat, because I wouldn't classify myself as a stressed person, but I'm still thinking, you know, is it delayed? Is it cancelled? Blah, blah, blah. As soon as I know, everything's, like, it's the only time I get a bit stressed.
As soon as I have, as soon as I've managed to get through baggage, you know, what's called the x-ray machine, and that,
I do breathe one sigh of relief when I get there.
If I manage to get through the x-ray machine without having had my bag searched, I genuinely feel like I'm winning at life. It gives me such a buzz.
Do you have to take all those millions of bits of jingly jangly bangles off?
Because it's all solid.
Oh, of course it is.
So yeah, I take the cuff off, I take my watch off. Yeah. Everything else is solid, so no.
Everything's genuine, officer. Genuine, you'll find. No need to frisk.
Shut up.
Right, okay. So, yeah, let us know that, what type of traveller you are. Right, moving on. I keep seeing pieces written about our age group and our demographic in the press. And Victoria Beckham's just turned 50, so it's kind of, you know, a whole new swathe of talky bits in the paper about age, you know, age demographic has come up. Is the latest one I looked at was, is 50 the new 30? And a writer was writing in the Times about, basically, about how we're an extremely powerful demographic,
yep,
this and that and the other. But there was a piece that she talked about that resonated with me, and I wanted to share this with listeners to see what you thought. Question being, are you sick of being told how to feel about your age? In as much as you're 50, you know, you need to now embrace this, but not embrace that. Do you still feel like you're being told how to feel about your age? So, for example, how do you feel about these kind of uplifting age slogans like age with power, celebrate the grey? What if you don't want to embrace going grey, or you want to sort out your turkey neck, but you feel bad about admitting it in case you're letting the sisterhood down? Do you know what I mean?
But how does Victoria Beckham get away with that then? Because clearly, I mean, you know, I don't know if she's had any work done, but I, you know, I wouldn't bet my mortgage on the fact that she hasn't.
I think she admits having stuff like laser treatment, doesn't she? And I think she's had like dermabrasion stuff. I mean, God, she's definitely had work done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the piece basically said, you know, you've got actresses hitting midlife milestones and they're all expected to gush about how they've reached this enlightenment in midlife. And the writer says, it's not on brand to lament your decline. And also, when advertisers or brands use older models,
yeah,
the older models often look much better than a younger model does, because if it's to kind of say I'm 50 something, they'll get this model who's got just the most amazing mane of silvery grey hair that actually must have taken days and hours to get to that lustrous state.
And they always do have, you know, an incredible jawline.
So not the usual sagginess. And they'll be smiling. So there'll be a few wrinkles around the eyes, but there'll be real smattering of. And yes, they'll have this razor sharp jawline that isn't really that realistic.
And they've not got, you know, they've not got, you know, like oodles of cellulite, and there's no muffin top, and there's no, they are always svelte and toned. And that in itself is, look how well I've aged. Okay, well, you've clearly done a shitload of stuff. You know, whether you've been in the gym all day, whether you've done weight training.
They look like yoga bunnies, don't they? Or very slim, like uber slim.
Yes.
More slim than a younger model.
Well,
who's encouraged, actually, to have a bit of meat on the flesh these days.
And if you think about it, the irony is, that's supposed to be the poster child for our generation, aging naturally, aging gracefully, you know, embracing the grey.
Yeah.
But that is then no different from having a poster child of someone in their 20s who has a highly unachievable physique and aura, you know, and
agreed,
look.
Agreed.
It's as patronising as it is in your 20s. Yeah. It's just you've used an older person. You've still used an older person who 99% of the bloody population don't look like.
Yeah.
But she's grey, so that's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay. But she's not normal. That's not... The normal thing is interesting because I get told a lot, you know, you should use, you know, when you do a try-on, you should use somebody else because you're not a normal woman because you're a size 8 to 10. Well, last time I looked, I was a normal woman. And also, if I take my clothes off, everything wobbles, everything moves. But there are women who are that size and there are women who are a size 20, 24. They're all normal.
Yeah.
But what I don't, you know, I wouldn't have this, my face would not be this tone, shall we say, if I didn't have Botox and fillers in my, you know, because I look like Skeletor because I am thin. So it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
But you're unusual in that you say that. I mean, I hate to use the word admit because admit sounds as though you've done something wrong. But I think women now, if they do have stuff done, don't feel they can talk about it rather than just saying, oh, yeah, I've had a bit of Botox, or I've had some Profilo, or I've had a bit of this and that and the other.
Every time you mention it, I mean, if you put your head above the parapet and, you know, deign to mention that you've had it done, honestly, you are stoned alive. It is, you are people, you shouldn't do that. And my favourite one is people say, you don't need it. No. I've had it, otherwise I wouldn't look like this. Mm. That's why I have it, because so I do look like this. It's that whole juxtaposition.
Do you know the judgment I hate the most is when you see comments and they say the words, you should be growing old gracefully.
Well, I think I am.
It just really, not to you, I just mean general, is that why can't this person just grow old gracefully?
But the definition, when did the definition, what's their definition?
What's
definition?
Graceful?
Exactly. So for me, the definition of graceful is I want to do it with a little bit of help. And I don't want to look in the mirror and see a jowly, skeletal, thin, you know, I want to see someone whose cheekbones are still where they were once upon a time. And if that means a little bit of filler, I don't give a shit. I haven't got a super, you know, I'm still slightly, you know, I'm wrinkly. I don't want to look in the mirror and see my mum age 75. Sorry, but I don't. But you're not allowed to admit that. Why not? Because I don't. And I also think, I've always said this, I think part of it is psychological. The fact that when we look in the mirror and see an older reflection looking back at us, that in your head, that is psychologically means you're one step nearer to the end. Yeah. I think that. I think, well, what, otherwise, what's the definition? Why do you not want to look old? Because old people die. Full stop, end of, yeah? And the older I look, I don't want to think about death. I want to accept the fact I've got loads of time left. And whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But I do think it's one explanation.
What I would love to know is whether listeners feel that the way they're portrayed in the media and in advertising, do they feel that's a reflection of who they are or not?
Well, my I don't. Interesting. There's that whole, and I did a, as I said to you when we know, I did a talk about it to before Christmas. I did this big event, a big media strategy event, and I was invited to go along and talk about age and advertising and my experience of it. And my front line is always the Golden Girls and the cast of I Never Were at School
and Just Like That
and Just Like That.
Sex and the City.
The Sex and City
women grown up.
Yeah. So Sex and City second series, the new series, the older ladies, and Golden Girls. The Golden Girls were actually younger than the senior Sex and the City girls, which when you look at the representation of them and what they were doing with their lives and, you know, how they looked and what they wore and is batshit.
Yeah.
And there is that. And the thing that interests me, when we talked about this earlier, and I didn't say it to you at the time, what does it matter? Why does it matter how old I am? Why does that matter? Surely you can have somebody with the mentality, and they say mentality, what's the word I'm looking for? Not mentality.
Outlook, psychological outlook.
The outlook of a 50-year-old, and you can have someone with an outlook of a 20-year-old. They could be the same outlook. It's a personality like function. Why does age make any difference whatsoever? Mm. I appreciate it does with things like you know, insurance and, you know, and what exercise you should be doing and blah, 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 blah. But generally, when it comes to actually just being, just functioning in society, why is it, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we're still not represented properly, are we? So the question that I'd like to put out there is, do you feel you're made to feel you're letting the side down in a way for not wanting to, in quotes, grow old gracefully?
Do you know what I'd also like to know? What are people's definition of grow old gracefully?
That's a good question. To you, what is growing old gracefully?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what is it to you?
It's being who the hell you want to be.
Yeah.
That's all.
And my, yeah, it's growing old gracefully. I mean, I'd rather grow old disgracefully.
Exactly. But it isn't, is it? It's not disgraceful. What's disgraceful about wanting to do what you want to do?
And also, I think aligned with that, there is also that, you know, we'll touch on this another time. So it's not just about aesthetics. It's about being sensible. You should act your age. And not that anyone's ever said that to me, to my face, but I can, you know, there are all, you know, you always see that, you know, you see about so-and-so, or they were out, you know, they weren't acting their age. I'm so sorry. I didn't get
what
that.
You meant to do
I didn't
this,
get that
yeah.
rule book. Yeah, I should yeah. be at home playing whist. But actually, I mean,
you'd quite like that.
I'd quite like that.
At home playing darts.
Yeah. No, darts. Oh, no. Cards. Oh, dominoes. Oh, you know me. I love a games night. Loads of people around at my house for a games night.
Yeah, you like a games night.
I love it. So maybe I am being an old fart. Or is that an old fart or is it not? Here we go.
Oh, I mean, where do you start and stop with it?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, let's move on. Fashion whinge or winner. Well, I came here today and I said, I've got an idea. And you said, I've got an idea. And I said, what's yours? And you said, denim. And I said, mine's denim too.
Snap, Marianne.
Yeah. Although ever so slightly differently, because I saw this this feature about, can you wear denim to the office, yes or no? Or if you broaden that out, can denim be smart?
Yes.
You know, can you have it for... maybe not, well, I suppose maybe a wedding or maybe a sort of an occasion or a smart event.
Yeah.
And there were all these pieces of denim that looked absolutely beautiful, actually. It was a kind of a denim trouser suit that looked really smart, yeah. Dark, very dark blue denim. It's gorgeous. And then you said...
My point was, do you need to spend a lot of money on denim? Is more expensive denim worth it?
And I thought the answer to that was going to be yes, but you wear more denim than me and you say no, not necessarily.
I don't think it is at all. I think it's more about, there is a line, I would say, when you're talking about, for example, skinnies, or you're talking about something that has a lot of elastane in there, which interestingly isn't really relevant to lots of denim that we wear these days, because we wear more structured denim as opposed to shapely denim. Obviously, don't get me wrong, I still love a pair of skinnies, but actually people are more into boyfriends and straights and balloon and flares, you know, which are, they have it's either a stiffer denim or, like I've got on today, like a chambray. So you don't have that level of elastane. And elastane is put in, obviously, to make it more flattering. The problem is, if you put too much elastane in, it loses its shape very, very quickly. So there is that really fine line. And historically, I would always say skinnies, actually, there are exceptions to the rule. Two used to do the most incredible pair of black skinnies. Amazing, absolutely amazing. But you know, the more you spent, the better the quality, in inverted commas. But my favorite jeans are 9-10 years old from Zara. Mm-hmm. And I love these jeans to death. In fact, I've left them at a friend's house, actually, and she needs to send them back to me. I know.
Have a word.
I left my phone charger. And she's had them for ages. A vest, I think. Yeah, anyway. Camilla.
Oh, I was going to say name and shame.
Name and shame. But I, and because this week recently I've bought two pairs of jeans, which I absolutely love, and they're not cheap, but I'm 5'10". And for me on the high street to get full length, and I mean really, really, really long, wide leg jeans, impossible. It is impossible. They do not exist.
Can I just say, what Kat's wearing today are my favourite jeans on her.
These are Rag & Bone, but I bought these in the sale for £50. And £50 is what you'd probably, that's high street pricing.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
Zara,
definitely.
Mango, M&S prices.
And they're cream, but they're just so almost buttery soft.
They're a chambray.
They're so
a cream
nice.
Chambray. So going back to, so two things. One, I would say, it's understanding the style that you want, and there are so many high street options. If you are not 5'10", even if you are 5'10" and don't have, don't need a really long leg, because obviously some people have shorter legs, there are, Manga do amazing jeans, H&M do amazing jeans, M&S do amazing jeans, but they are never, ever in stock. Mm. Let's not go there. Zara do amazing jeans. Pull & Bear do amazing jeans. Bershka do amazing jeans. Stradivarius do amazing jeans. There are loads and loads and loads of options on the high street. It just depends what style you want. However, if you do want something, you want something more niche, for example, if you want an extra wide leg, you might have to pay a little bit more.
Mm.
But that's what I do. So I don't think you do.
So answer my question.
Yes.
What sort of denim is acceptable for a kind of non-casual situation, whether it be going into an office or going to an event?
What would you
advise? Is it a yes or a no?
I think it totally depends, A, on the event, B, on what you wear with it, so how you accessorize and how you what else you wear as the rest of the outfit, and C, it is about the wash of the jeans. So if you were to have a very faded, distressed, vintage-looking wash, I would say probably not. However, a very dark indigo denim is probably much more acceptable. But for me, the easiest way to wear denim to an occasion, if you like, in inverted commas, or to make it look more smart, apart from the fact that, you wear a blouse and you wear heels, and you don't wear trainers and don't wear a T-shirt, those just obvious things, is wear black or white denim. And black denim, black on black. So it doesn't really look like denim.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So no blue, apart from maybe very, very, very dark.
I think very, 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 very dark.
Mm.
And I think it depends on the thing. I mean, on the style as well, you probably wouldn't wear a slouchy boyfriend jean, because that's quite casual in its look and its feel. But, a wide leg, high-waisted flare. But again, if it was in a dark denim, because I think nothing that looks too jean-y.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So a jean
that is fulfilling the job description of a pair of trousers.
A pair of denim trousers. If you look at them and think they're actually a pair of denim trousers as opposed to a pair of jeans, I think that is maybe your differentiator.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can wear them. I think you can wear them to the office. I really do, in this day and age.
Having done office styling pre and post COVID, that is a can of worms, because it totally depends generally on each office.
Yeah, COVID was a game changer for clothes,
well,
wasn't it?
I mean, I love it. My favourite, someone said to me, I remember they messaged me ages ago and said, and I've had it also from a friend who started a new job not that long ago, and the dress code is dress for the day that you have.
Oh dear.
What the
I'd
hell?
I'd have a sleepless night beforehand if I'd read that dress code.
Well, that also.
What if you've had a shit day?
No, it's not. You. No!
Do you dress really badly?
Dear God. No, so if you have an internal. But the problem is, if you have an internal meeting, it's really hard. So if you have a client meeting, do you mirror the dress code of the client? Or does the client mirror the dress code of you? Because it's like no man's land. It's like the Wild West. The Wild West of the dress code. Who's going to go first? Pistols at dawn. Yeah. Is it loafers at dawn?
Trainers wearing a cowboy hat? I'm wearing my cowboy hat.
Yeah. Trainers at dawn. And, the dress code of an advertising agency compared to the dress code of a law practice are probably going to be very different. And then the law, a law practice might be very different if it's a very corporate law. If it's like, I mean, where do you go with it? So it's totally and utterly, it depends. I mean, that is how long is a piece of string, and I'm not getting into that argument. Move on.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Tell us your feelings about denim.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Right, on to me some threesomes. Okay, you go first, Kaya.
This is, well, I said, this is so boring. And Marianne said, no, it's not.
Her favourite subject.
Oh my God, it's her favourite subject. I was embarrassed by how excited I was about this. Marianne, I bought, ordered, because they're not arrived yet, new towels.
I mean, who, what, why, where, when, I'll be asking.
This for me is equivalent to buying a tyre, okay? Buying tyres. I've got white towels. I've had white towels for years and I just rebuy the white towels.
You've not bought a white towel?
No, Marianne.
She's gone rogue.
I've gone rogue. I've bought grey and white stripes. Nice. You're going to think they're so boring.
No, they sound smart.
Honestly.
Okay, where are they from?
They're John Lewis.
And
they're
I bought mine from there.
Do you know what I went in? I nearly rang you. How expensive are some towels?
Honest to God. I told you when I bought mine there, and I did go a bit feral on them. I thought, oh, put another one in. And I didn't bother to look. And I nearly fainted at the checkout. But they are nice. Oh, they are so nice. Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, nice.
Check those bad boys out.
They are hotel worthy.
Are they?
Yeah.
They are. I love them so much.
Grey and white stripe.
I love them.
Is it a brand or is it John Lewis's own brand?
John Lewis's own brand.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I love them.
Yeah.
I actually love them.
Very, very nice. But here's a question.
Yeah.
Bath sheet or normal towel? Because you don't like a bath sheet, do you?
No, I do like a bath sheet. But do you know what? I do like a bath sheet. I didn't have it because I had spare towels that when I moved, I took with me. So in Suffolk, we have bath sheets. And not having used a bath sheet for a while, when I first arrived, I was like, oh my God, it's actually like trying to dry yourself on a napkin. But I've got really, really used to it. And I do know that washing towels is so unsustainable. And you're looking at me, honestly, the look of hate in her eyes.
No.
It's so unsustainable.
No, it is, though. Yeah, you're right.
It's so unsustainable. And I just think, actually, do you know what? Just use bath towel.
A normal bath towel size. I've got bath sheets, and you're right. I wrap them around me about four times. They're taller than I am.
But I just...
It's decadent, though, isn't it? It's got a feeling of decadence, a bath sheet.
It did, but now I just feel this is
it lost its allure.
It's lost its allure, Marianne.
Yeah, you've got your sustainability hat on, which I admire you for.
I have, I really, really have. And also, bath sheets are really expensive.
I know.
But they're not, but I think also, I don't know. I just thought.
Do you have hand towels and guest towels and all the different sorts of towels? Or do you just go for one size fits all?
Well, in Suffolk, I have hand towels and bath sheets. I have hand towels, bath sheets and bath mats. And here, when I moved, because it was just me, you know, and the kids, I was like, well, just make do, dudes. Just make do with your bath. That's your towel. Use your towel.
But
like
old school. You've gone up market.
Well, I haven't because I just ordered graphite and white striped bath towels.
Very, very exciting.
But it made me very, very excited. What's yours?
I'm
Move on.
I'm happy about that. Okay, so I'm into a new book, Elizabeth Strout. I've mentioned her before. She's an American writer, Pulitzer Prize winning writer. And I've read My Name is Lucy Barton, Olive Kitteridge, and many others. Realised I'd never read her debut novel. So I often come at authors backwards. So, you know, you'll read their latest, which then gives you access to the back catalogue. And so I was thrilled when I realised I hadn't read one of Elizabeth Strout's, which is called Amy and Isabel. And it's such a brilliant story. And it's the story of this mum and daughter who've got a very close relationship. It's like a single mum, daughter. But the mum realises the daughter, who I think she's about 16, has been lying to her. She's been groomed by her maths teacher. And it's the fallout from what happens in this very small town in America.
Ooh.
And it's really good. It's just a brilliant look at the kind of just relationships, really, and what happens in the dynamic of a mum and a daughter and everybody around them who somehow gets kind of pulled in to this situation. It's really, really, really good. Elizabeth Strout. It's called Amy and Isabel. I'll put it up.
Right. Okay. My next one is a watching.
Oh, go on.
Right. I'm watching because I've recently, you know, do you ever get to the point where you think, oh, there's loads of good stuff on and you've watched loads of good stuff and other people recommend stuff and you start watching it and you're like, oh God, this is bollocks.
Yeah.
So I'm at that point. I'm at that point. So I've done The Gentleman, which I loved.
It's done really well, hasn't it?
Have you done it? Have you like?
I am on three. Honestly, I didn't think I'd like it. I thought, oh, it's just going to be a load of nonsense. Watched the first one with my sister and brother-in-law at the weekend, and we immediately went, sure, let's watch the next one.
Yes, that's what you should do.
And so I am, I think it's slick. I think it's beautifully filmed. It's so watchable. It's bingeable, isn't it?
Do you not love Freddie?
I love Freddie. Love. Oh, hang on. Is Freddie the hero?
No. If I just say the chicken.
Oh, no, I don't love him. He gets right on my wick. Who's the good-looking one? The one who's inherited it all?
The Duke.
Oh, I like him. He's a bit of all right, isn't he?
No, I don't mean like. No, the character.
Oh, no, Freddie is just so feckless.
Oh, my God, I love Freddie.
He annoys me. It's like, why have you done that? I've just got you out of this hole and you put us in another.
Oh, it's just brilliant. I bet as an actor, I think he's
oh, he's very good. The chicken scene was just almost unbearable, wasn't
it? Yeah, it is genius, absolutely genius. Anyway, so that was amazing. Then I watched Passenger, which I said, did you see?
No, I didn't see that.
Right, it was amazing.
I know it was huge.
Oh my God, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Last episode,
yeah.
What a pile of bollocks. Mm. So really frustrating. Then I watched, haven't done, what did you say? The Scoop, not done that yet.
Oh, Scoop's but brilliant.
The Regime. Oh my God, Marianne.
I told you it was Marmite.
10 minutes in. Do you know the point was? 10 minutes in, I was like, I don't care. There's no story here. I don't care. She's good, but Jesus, she's irritating. And I love Kate Winslet. Mare of Easttown, one of my favourite things for the last couple of years. But, oh my God, I want to just, oh, I don't know, irritating. I just found the whole thing irritating. And then I started, I've got Shogun.
Do you know that? No, that's getting a lot of attention, isn't it?
Again, started watching that. And I think it's probably a bit like Game of Thrones. You have to sort of go, you know, sort of chew your way through the first 2-3 episodes and go, oh, this really isn't my genre, because it's not my genre. Mm. And then apparently you're in your hurt.
Yes.
But I've got to get to that point. But that's it. That's an investment of my time.
It is.
And you know, sometimes at night when you're sat, you're watching, you think, oh, I just want to watch something for an hour and just switch off and then I'll go to bed.
Totally. That's what I did with the morning show. It was called This Morning Show.
Right.
The morning show was perfect for that.
Oh, well, that was just amazing. So I then discovered, don't laugh, I then discovered, and I have watched quite a few of them, FBI. Now, you either know or you don't.
I don't.
Right. FBI is on Sky Witness. And it's another, oh God, what's his name? Dick. He did Law and Order. He did, it's an hour long American, what's it like? Do you know what? It's a bit like American Bill, but really cool.
Yeah. Is it a drama or is it a documentary?
No. Drama. Yeah, bad drama. I mean, it's so over the top. It's so, you know, they managed to solve, you know, the biggest terrorist, you know, the biggest terrorist threat on the planet in, you know, 40 minutes. It's ridiculous. And they managed to go from one side of Manhattan all the way over to, you know, the other side in about 3 seconds. I mean, it's bollocks. It's all bollocks. But it's an hour of total, each one's a story, although there is obviously the running thread line with the characters. And I love it. I discovered there was a new series. I was like, woo! And then there's FBI Most Wanted. Your face
I don't
now.
Watch that either.
Well, you wouldn't, because if you don't watch one, you're not going to watch the other. There's Most Wanted. So I realised I hadn't seen the whole of the last series.
Oh, so you binged on that.
So I did. It's just every night I just go, oh, do you know what? I just have
a treat.
Yes, because I can't, I don't have to put any brain power into it. It's like bubblegum television that you can switch off and just go, oh, look at all the bad things happening elsewhere in the world. Yeah. To me. It's that bubblegum television. And then There's FBI International.
Crikey, there's a lot in this franchise.
I know, but I'm nearly caught up. If you like things like CSI, or which you probably don't.
No, I'm just not. I don't know. I've never got into that genre. I'm watching Ripley at the minute.
Yeah. I didn't like the film, the original film.
You're joking.
I didn't love it.
Oh, no. It's one of the best films I've ever seen. This is like total opposite. Whereas the Anthony Minghella film was really kind
beautiful.
Of it's like a Slim Aaron's photograph, wasn't it? It was like, you know, uber colourful. This is black and white, which nearly put me off. Like, how can it be black and white? Those beautiful parts of Italy. But it's very good. Very, very good. Anyway, okay. I digress. Right.
So I just wanted to just say there's a little bit of bubblegum. If you're an old school Cagney and Lacey lover, you'll love this sort of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. I liked Cagney and Lacey.
Do you like Columbo?
Oh God, I love Columbo. Just one more thing.
I know, but it's, you know, it's
love
sort of
Columbo.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, this is nothing like Columbo, but it's bubblegum TV.
Yeah.
At its finest.
There's nothing wrong with that, Kat. No. Right. I nearly didn't do this, and then you said, "Oh, do it."
I'm going to take a piss out of you.
Listen, I'm not putting a picture of my toes up. I've had this thing on my toe for about 2 months and don't know what it is. And I went to the chiropodist. I said, "What is it?" She said, "I don't know. I thought I've just paid you 70 quid for that." Anyway, she kind of sliced it off and buffed it down. About 2 weeks later, it was back. I've been applying corn stuff on it because it looked most like a corn. Did knack all. And then I showed it to my sister at the weekend. She said, "I've got just the thing for that." She said, "It must be a fungal thing." Oh, I don't like the word fungal. I was like, well, I've not been anywhere to get fungus. But anyway, she said, "It definitely is." So she showed me this thing that that her husband had been using for something on his toe.
I really wondered what you're going to say there. On his, thank God you said toe.
Oh, on his fungus.
Oh my God.
And it's called Emu Aid Max. It's a multi-purpose ointment for irritated skin. And she basically said the results are just like miraculous. Well, Kat, showed you my toes before, didn't I? I've been using it for 2 days. One of the little bumps is nearly gone and the other one is shrinking fast. So I'm just saying, I recommend it.
Being fortunate enough to have a glimpse of Marianne's toes. That was my earlier treat. And I swear it's a wart.
Ugh.
It's a wart, Marianne.
The thing is, I'm desperate for a pedi, but I can't bear to show my feet to people.
Oh, God. Can I just say, you honestly would think that she's got, like, her foot was like the elephant man's appendage. Marianne, it's a tiny wart. Grow a pair and just go and have a pedi.
No, but will they treat me?
Oh, that's I don't know. I mean. That might be quite embarrassing. That's a bit like going to the hairdressers if you think you've got nits.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm sorry, I can't treat you. You've got something hideous on your toe.
No, they won't. Just say it's a piece of dry skin. Just say it's a piece of dry skin.
Yeah, I might have to do that. Anyway, so apparently it's a little miracle ointment for lots of things.
Do you think it would work on eczema?
It does work on eczema. Well, so apparently it's got bacillus, I can't remember what it's called, but you know that kind of healthy bacteria and tea tree oil. And they definitely do one for eczema, Emu Aid.
Right,
because
okay.
I saw it on Amazon.
Right.
It's about 20 quid for a little pot. It's not cheap. But I think the pot will like go a long way.
Okay,
there you go.
Fine.
That was glamorous, wasn't it? Move on to some glamour now.
Little bit of glamour. So I bought this week... I bought it because it was the only one left in my size. And I just thought, I can always take it back. Famous last words. Mm. A red dress.
Lady in
right.
red.
Okay. As we've established.
Dancing with me. Oh, good God. Cheek to cheek. I finish now.
Have you? Because can you sing the whole song?
Nobody here. Go on, no.
That dress is going to be back in that bloody bag quicker than you can say Christopher freaking Burke.
I've taught you around keeping that.
Right.
I'd like to add.
I don't love red. I don't love red.
Like red. I never wear red. Isn't it funny? But it looked great on you. You know that.
Well,
the colour looked great.
It's a really good shade of red. I mean, what colour would you say it? It's just red, isn't it?
I would say it's an orangey, tomatoey orange red. It's not a harsh blue red, if that makes sense.
Bella Freud red.
Yes.
Yeah. If you know, yeah.
Exactly.
Which isn't really
it's not helpful.
It's not remotely helpful. But I'm so sorry, we're standing here just staring at the dress. I love, it's so, it's really unusual. It's a knitted dress, Kelsey Surprise, yep. as all my dresses are these days. And I just bought it with the idea of going on holiday and then being able to wear it at other times. And just, I just thought, and as I always say, rule of three, you need to be able to think of three occasions when you can wear it, which aren't the same occasion. And so I thought, do you know what, actually, when it's really warm in London in the summer and you've got to put a dress on, but you're going somewhere quite smart, that would be perfect. Perfect. Not going to show the sweat. It's like a cotton as well, cotton knitted. It's quite heavy. It's very delicate, actually. I'm going to absolutely knacker it with my jewellery, but... you know, whatever. And I just thought, you know, I can wear that then. And I've got all these occasions to wear. It's a great cruise dress. It's a great party dress. It's a great casual dress. Wear it with trainers. Then it was, what do you wear with it? Because red and black.
I know. It's a killer, isn't it?
It's a little...
I don't know how to describe red and black.
80s.
There's something, yes, 80s and something a little bit, dare I say the word, cheap.
I was going to say harsh. It's a little bit...
brittle. There's something yes. about it that, yeah, is a bit... makes you set your teeth on edge.
But interestingly, I would actually wear it with black boots. But for example, I don't like red and leopard together.
Ooh, oh, dear.
That awful for me. I think maybe there's something about red that for me is a little bit... oh, my God. To use my mum... oh, my God, you know the word my mum would use?
What?
Tarty.
No... I think it's got those, it's just connotations, isn't
yes.
it, red? And it's just one of those colours that, yeah.
Well, it's that and the fact that I absolutely detest that Christa Berg song more than anything on the planet, which I think has got probably a lot to do with it. But then what do I pair it with if it's not black? So I've gone through and actually I'm going to do red with dark tan. It's like a chestnut, isn't it? What do you call that? Cognac.
All you need to know, listeners, is that she's found a cowboy hat to match, and that's the main thing. It's the only thing, isn't it, really? That was the clincher in you keeping it. You found that hat, and it matched.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
So we're all fine.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. It's the brown. It's like a cognac hat, a suede jacket. I like texture. I wouldn't wear it with a blazer. I think that would look wrong. I need to dress it down because it is quite smart. It can be quite formal. I've got some tan boots and I've got just a classic Louis Vuitton, just, you know, the tan handbag.
You are good to go.
I'm good to go, so I think I'm going to keep it. Chance of me taking it back are obviously high.
Okay.
But no.
We'll get a pic of her in it before she takes it back.
Oh, God, have I got to try it on?
Yeah, I've got to take a pic of you before I go.
Bloody hell.
Right, I've also bought something that is much more boring this week. I bought a plain black but super flattering go-anywhere skirt from Albury, £65. I was drawn in by their marketing. It was like, it's back in stock. It had sold out. And I looked at it and I thought, I can see why that sold out. Had a really thick jersey waistband, pockets, and the shape was just literally, I just thought, do you know what? That's going to go with anything, anywhere, summer or winter.
Yep.
It's a woven, like full, quite a full skirt, but with that jersey waistband. So on my size, i.e. 5'3", it isn't too out there, but it's got some shape.
So it would be not enough for me, not voluminous enough for me.
It's a little bit voluminous, actually.
How long is it?
It's long on me, but you know, you're about a foot taller.
You see, that's not exciting. That for me is so much more exciting than my red dress.
I was thrilled about it in a bizarre way.
I'm gonna have to look at it.
Well, because it's a deep jersey waistband, so you can tuck in or tuck half in, half out. You can slouch it right down onto your hips if you want to.
You see,
do you know it to me?
Right, okay. Oh, now
it
you
would
see.
Suit you, definitely.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. I wish I had that for holiday now.
I should have brought it today and let you borrow it.
Oh, God.
I know. And you could just wear it with a T-shirt on your holes, with your flip-flops, or you could wear it smart as.
You see, I've got, from last year, I've got, well, from years ago, loads of black, but I love that with a plain black vest, so it looks like a dress or a waistcoat.
And
a
yes, definitely ticks all those boxes.
You see, that sounds super exciting. Oh, stop the red dress. But it's the black, you see. I did actually also buy the dress in black, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, but just because I thought...
The exact same one?
Yeah. Oh. But it looks really different because the sizing is all totally skewy. So irritating. What size did you get in that skirt?
Small.
Okay. And would you say a small is what, a 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say it's a, box standard 10.
All
right,
brilliant. Black, you see. But then everything I own is black. That's
why I think that's why you should keep the red. You're only wrestling with yourself because you feel it's a bit out there for you.
I don't feel that I would wear that as much as I would wear the black version. But then the black version's slightly boring. And also it's really small because the extra small was tight and the small was about, you would have thought it was I had to check the sizing to see, is this actually a small? It's about 3 sizes larger than the extra small. Mm-hmm. I hate that shit. So I'm going to keep the red. And also, do you know what as well? The other thing being tall, I know as weird as it sounds, I think with black, I sort of blend in. Whereas there's no blending in that.
No, but I just think you should keep it, Kat. Okay. Anyway, right. It's a wrap, everyone. Thanks as always for listening to Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast. Do feel free to leave us a nice review wherever you listen to us.
And we always put the mini pod questions and polls up on our Insta page at the podcast. So follow us there. See you on Monday, where I'll be talking about the lessons that you've told us you've learned from your divorce. Oh, and also, yeah, we are. It's going to be a positive one.
We wanted it to be positive.
Yes.
Can you have a happy divorce?
Yes.
Or amicable divorce?
And if so, what are your top tips?
Yeah. Very, very useful.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
See you there. Bye.
Bye-bye.